Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to whoever may be listening.
The massive fan bases. Here we are, Scott.
The
Yeah.
announcement went out, and I don't know if anyone knows that we're back on, which is awesome.
Which is perfect.
We get to just chat.
We get to have our fun, which we were doing for like an hour before anyway.
Yeah, why not? Just continue the conversation.
It's cool. How's Seattle?
It's back to cloudy today. It was sunny and in the 80s for several days. How about in the Bay Area, California?
It's actually overcast right now as well. So we got some of your weather.
Oh, sorry, man.
Yeah, seriously.
But it's all an illusion anyway, so hey, suck it up.
Speaking of course, radio. Here we are talking about things related and about the Course in Miracles.
That's right.
We took a little vacation and we're back.
Yeah, it's and I think that's part of what we're going to talk about today is just sort of, this year, at least for myself, sounds like for you, Sheldon, a lot of people I know, it's just been a very intense year. Just needed to take some time off, and sometimes you just need to regroup, reground out, and kind of let things go through you and process it and take care of yourself for a little bit.
No doubt about that, brother. And we're only in May.
Yeah.
What does that portend for the rest of the year? Yeah.
Just means it's going to get better and better and better.
Yeah. More
That's
fun and more fun and more wackiness.
right, as always,
As
because
always.
that's what the ego loves to do.
Hey, did I tell you that I lost my Course in Miracles book?
No, I did not know that. Wow, what a great way to
Lost it, gone, disappeared from the car, my car. I have, a hardback that I kept on bedside, right? And I would use it in the house. And then I had my paperback, which was the one that was super highlighted and dog-eared and, all that stuff that I, had used all those years back when you were here, right? And that one was the one I would take to the group on Wednesdays, and it would stay in the car in a little bag. And I have this truck that, some of the guys, a couple people use to deliver parts or pick drive customers because I manage an auto body shop, right? And so it's a shop truck, but it was underneath the front seat. So it's completely out of view, in a bag. Nobody knows what it is, kind of put away. And that thing is gone. And
It literally ran away from you.
it's been gone for about a month. And I keep thinking it'll turn up, right? And the Arch Unity Movement Center in San Mateo, right? It's like a warehouse, so there's not a whole lot of places where it could, disappear too. I was thinking, wait, did I leave it there one night? And thinking it'll turn up, checked upstairs, checked down, the little loft space upstairs, looked around, looked around. I have yet to find it, and it's been about a month now.
Wow. Well, I hope you find it, or if you need another copy, let me know.
No, so I've been using the hardback copy, but it is kind of interesting. I'm like, what does that mean? Is there a deeper meaning behind that?
Maybe. It could be lost in another dimension, Sheldon.
It could be.
Hey, I think for today, now that we're getting back into the show, and as far as I know, we have plans to keep going all through the year. I know what we used to do is read a quote from the course. I don't know if you have one that you wanted to read, had one ready.
I do not.
All right.
So I like the book is in the car, and then I, so can you read two?
I'll read one,
All right.
because for me, the only way I've been able to get through any of the craziness that I've personally gone through, whether it's the last several years or even just recently when we took the break, is just continuing to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And it keeps shifting and changing and growing and shrinking, day by day, month by month. And I'm just still enjoying, I guess, that relationship. So I figured I'll just read a section about the Holy Spirit from the Manual for Teachers section. So this is, oh, I'm sorry. No, this is the Clarification of Terms section, and it's chapter 6, and this will be paragraph 2.
Cool.
The Holy Spirit is described throughout the Chorus as giving us the answer to the separation and bringing the plan of the atonement to us, establishing our particular part in it and showing us exactly what it is. He has established Jesus as the leader in carrying out his plan, since he was the first to complete his own part perfectly. All power in heaven and earth is therefore given him, and he will share it with you when you have completed yours. And I thought that was fitting also because of what you shared earlier, Sheldon, with your powerful think connection you had recently.
What are you talking about?
You went shy on me.
I got a little buzz there from the quote, to be honest. It's like, bam.
Yeah, it felt like you kind of went away. Yeah, I didn't know if it
didn't even hear it. I was just like, wah. I was like in meditation or something. That was kind of cool.
Did it hit your heart center?
Yeah. Huh?
Did it hit your heart center?
It did.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah. That's why, I was kind of curious if you could maybe do like a meditation today. And not that I'm going to put pressure on you to recreate what you had done earlier, but maybe see if that connection's still there and share it with the rest of us, because I know I would love to experience that.
Sure. So, Jesus as the what does your quote say? Jesus.
That basically the Holy Spirit established Jesus as the leader in carrying out the Holy Spirit's plan, since he was the first to complete his own part perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And that's not to say that there aren't other pathways, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other avenues to atonement, to Christedness. To the embodiment of the Christ light, right? But that in this teaching, Jesus is the one who, and that's why it's, you know, you return to the Father through me, meaning through the light of the Christ, which Jesus was an embodiment of, right? And so you're going into your own Christed nature within, which is the divine spark within each of us.
Yep.
And then he is the way shower of that in a particular pathway, but it doesn't mean that there aren't other pathways that do the same thing, that eventually, you know, they all lead to the same place. Right?
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. Just, it's beautiful.
It is very beautiful. Yeah. And that's why, yeah, I'm just kind of curious, maybe, are you up for doing like a meditation for us? And yeah, see if we can connect with basically that Christ energy, the Jesus energy that represents connecting or becoming whole with the Holy Spirit and God while he was in a body, which is pretty amazing.
So let's, we'll do a little meditation right now. So obviously you're welcome to join if you happen to be listening. And obviously if you're driving or doing something like that, you probably don't want to do it right then. But you can do this at any point in time. I like to start with just taking a couple of nice deep breaths. Bringing the awareness into the body and into the breath is a very natural way of bringing the mind into present moment awareness, because you become aware of how you're feeling in this moment, how you're breathing. And it's a natural and easy pathway to release the mind from the thinking about the things of the day. And in releasing the attention from the judgments, thoughts, and just becoming more aware of your present state, of your breath, of your heart space, you can bring the breath into the heart as if you're breathing through your heart. we can call the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. And as we are never alone, we are never without the Holy Spirit, without the Christ. You might even be able to feel the response. Breathing softly and gently, relaxing the muscles. Relaxation is a gateway. It allows the energy of the Holy Spirit to penetrate your beingness on ever more deep and deep levels. Allowing the radiance of light to penetrate every cell, every atom. To radiate from every cell, every atom. This becomes an expression of receiving and giving. Is a manifestation of the Father through me does all things. The light flows through, radiates, and loves all before you. Let that light shine without hindering it, without obstructing it with thoughts of fear, without holding it back in tightness in the body. We bring our hands together in prayer to give thanks for this time of communion, and we conclude. There you go. How was that?
Thank you, Sheldon. Yeah, that felt great. Wow.
Coo, coo, coo.
My head's buzzing a little bit.
Yeah. Crazy times, lots of energy flowing around, like we were saying.
Yeah, but it's nice to intentionally connect with the energy that I think works for you and feels good for you, for sure. Yeah.
It's I think that resistance kind of came in that meditation, and that's actually a big, pretty key factor, I think.
Say a little bit more, yeah.
It's like on a physical level, when you resist the light, which is the radiance of the Holy Spirit, the Christ light coming in, when you resist that, your body tightens. That's why sometimes when people are getting hit with big shockwaves of light, they'll jerk and like they're being electrocuted, right? And then you see those people where they'll blast them with light and they'll pass out. And it's like a form of overload, kind of, and the body's in resistance to it. But as you learn to relax into it, you can handle a stronger current. It's like an electrical analogy. In the Chinese martial arts and the Qigong exercises, they would talk about grounding heaven to earth. So you would be grounding the energy from above down into the earth. Mm-hmm. And when you did that, it strengthened your electrical wiring system. But when you brought the energy from earth up, it was more electric. And so it was more like a shocking kind of lightning bolt kind of going through. And if your system couldn't handle that and you drew up too much energy, you could short circuit your acupuncture meridians. You could literally fry your wires. And it could also cause mental problems. All kinds of things can happen. So there's this, and one of the keys to all of that is relaxation, the ability of your body to be completely relaxed as there's an energy flowing through it. Mm. And the more relaxed you are, the more you can handle. It's when you start to tighten up and jerk that you can cause things happen. So that's why the breath is so key to the whole thing is the relaxed, you know, JM and Jeshua calls it a love's breath, right? There's a whole process of breathing love in and allowing love to flow through you, which is that light. Through this relaxed process, the breath is what regulates the whole body's, you know, sympathetic or, right? It's a sympathetic system, right? Through breath. Mm-hmm. So as you're breathing in a nice, relaxed manner, you're relaxing the body, which is allowing that love to penetrate ever more deeply into. And that's what heals, right? Love heals all things. So that's what allows the healing to penetrate through on a physical level, on an emotional level, on a mental level. It's all the same, right? Resistance. If you're resisting change, an emotional state or a mental state, the same thing happens. It happens on the physical state. The block, you won't allow a healing to happen, right? Because you have resistance. If you can just breathe through the thing, it'll literally pass through. So that's what I was kind of saying.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, and then I know some people, though, they kind of use like the fact that a body's jerking is a sign that they are connecting or communicating with the Holy Spirit. I mean, to be honest, I've seen a couple course teachers do that. It's sort of like that was their proof that, I don't know if I'm going to say it correctly, but it sort of like their way of acknowledging that they've connected the Holy Spirit, they would jerk. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they said something and it's like, oh, the Holy Spirit affirmed that and I jerked, you know, or mm-hmm. I'm communicating with the Holy Spirit, so now my body jerks. I think it's, you know, to each their own, right? Yeah. Whatever works for you. Because sometimes it could be a sign that you're resisting, or sometimes it's just that's a symbol that you're connecting.
Sure.
You can see it either way for sure. Yeah.
I would say that if they paid attention to it and they really breathed into it, eventually they could stop that.
Yeah.
through relaxing. And you can feel like because for me, it literally, it'll drop in and vibrate. It'll be like, bzzz, and there's like a level of vibration that hits, and it can be very potent. And, mm-hmm. and that, you know, when it's literally like an electric shock. So yeah, but if you can breathe into it, you can allow that wah, and it stabilizes. And then there's like a field of radiance that happens that is super potent, right? But it's like you have to stay relaxed in it or you're going to do funky things.
Funky. Nice.
Funky. Yeah. Yeah. So, Course in Miracles.
Yeah, and especially, I think, like you and I were talking, you know, like in A Course in Miracles, forgiveness, spirituality in a time of pretty intense moments, like you were talking about before, how do you allow? And I'll just share something real quick. For me, like one of the reasons why I needed a break from doing the show, and I even kind of put, like it was sort of like I was kind of putting everything down and going, okay, what's going to come back to me that I want to carry forward? I had to just drop everything because also at, like my personal work, it was just getting really, really intense. And I was having some moments of doubt about who I was, and also some really intense just moments at work where people way above me in the company, you know, executive levels, and you know, I have to go into meetings and present, and just like felt like you're just getting hammered, which I'm not used to. And it really caught me off guard. But the one thing that, again, I picked up again was that connection with Holy Spirit. Like this one particular executive, I was having like anxiety over having to talk to this person and present in front of this person. All of a sudden, by creating a connection with Holy Spirit and just kind of connecting with this person in my mind and just sort of healing whatever was going on and just wishing love to that person, I've not had a problem at all since then. And I've seen this individual go after other people. And I'm like, not that I want him to go after other people, but it's really weird to see what we can do with our relationships, even in our minds, right?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's not to say that maybe someday in the future I'm not going to get hammered again, but at least I've been able to feel a lot more peaceful about it. And if I do get hammered on, I guess those are my words, obviously, that maybe it's not going to be as violent to me in my you know, emotional feeling of it or mental feeling of it. And that's, to me, one of the beautiful things I think of, not just the Course in Miracles, but really the personal part of it, of having a personal relationship with Holy Spirit and bringing Holy Spirit into everything that you're doing or thinking or just being around.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome story. Awesome example. And that's the whole, like, seek first the kingdom, right? That's what I'd say. You know, you have to get the connection first. And then we get distracted and we get caught up and we get sidetracked and, you know, we forget. And then sometimes it takes a moment to step back and say, you know, what's first? I got to make that connection. I got to remember to do that first.
Yep. Yeah. And it's just, to me, like you were saying, just allowing things to happen. Like whether you're in the middle of a storm, there's some way to either be safe physically or at least safe in your mind, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the challenge and the rewards of having a spiritual life or practicing, like in our case, forgiveness and A Course in Miracles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of finding the eye of the hurricane every time.
right. So, yeah, what was I talking about was like, I guess the thing that's been coming up most recently in the time that we have not been talking about, you know, the show, I guess, in the last couple weeks or months or whatever, was this balance. It's like a razor's edge. It's all the word that keeps coming up to me. And there's a poem in the Tao Te Ching where he talks about the warrior crossing a frozen lake, perfectly calm, perfectly steady, and yet completely alert, because the ice might break at any time. And that imagery has always stuck with me, and it comes up in my mind a lot when I think about what's going on in my world right now, which has that sort of feeling to it. There's the absolute acceptance of what is, so an openness in your heart. Because it becomes a physical, you can feel it in your body. You can feel the gates going up. You can feel the drawbridge rolling up. You can feel when you're locking down in your heart.
Yeah.
And can you keep that completely open? Always, you know? And that's kind of the challenge, if you will, or the opportunities that come up, right? Is when it's not. And so can you stay open? And then you're in the middle of, you know, like I said, I run an auto body shop. A lot of chaos going on, you know, upset customers. I've got a lot of young people in my shop that don't know what they're doing very well, and they're being trained, so they're constantly making mistakes. So can you be open to that and accept that in a loving, compassionate way? Can you be completely clear from compassion and yet absolutely clear? I was like, one of the things came up was clarity and compassion. Can you be super clear? This is what I expect. This is how it needs to be, but with compassion. Strength and yet compassion, right?
Yeah.
So you're declaring an intention for how you want and yet not desiring to be the one who's the doer. I am not the doer. The Father through me does all things. So you're still staying open to how that might come about. So this razor's edge of saying, I can allow this to be the way it is. It's a mess. I'm declaring a direction And yet I'm still open to how whatever might happen in the next moment. It might get worse. Can I still be accepting of that? Or is my heart going to close? Am I going to start to yell and scream? And am I going to say, I need to grab a hold of this situation. I'm going to be the one controlling it. Or can I stay completely open and still have an intention from a place of love and compassion? Enjoy. And can I be at peace and with joy in my heart when I get a report that says my shop's been in the worst state that it's ever been in?
Right. Yeah.
And I had that a couple weeks ago, and I was just like, you know, wow, we're non-certified, which is as low as you can get, you know? And I'm like, do I, the initial reaction was get up out of your chair and go yell at some people. I'm not, you know what I mean? That's the initial reaction. And then I literally stopped and I said, wow, take a deep breath, you know, surrender, allow, feel the vibration. I can, you know, and for me, I'm a feeler. So some people can't, and you know, it's more mental that, but for me, I can literally feel when I can let go like that, I can feel the vibration shift in my own body. So it's like, bah, and just get myself lost in that vibration for a little bit, connecting to the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Feeling that. And was actually able to crack up and laugh about it a little bit and then go about, hey, you know, still saying, hey, you know what? Look what happened. Blah, 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 blah. You know, we need to work on this. Let's do this. What are we going to do differently to make this happen? Blah, 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 blah. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's the game.
It really is. I can strongly relate to that because I can look at my older pattern, especially in work, in a technical world. Typically what will happen is you have, you know, some goals and things you need to do, and then technically you're out there doing work. Like I'm in the development world, so we're like building parts and getting data and results back. And then I used to ride this up and down wave. It's sort of like, ooh, step one went great. Oops, the data came back. It looks bad. Oh, no, now we got to go back to step one again. And I used to ride this emotional wave and think that I need to be the one that had to correct the course, right, of what I was doing or the team was doing, or get on someone to, okay, well, this failed. What are you going to do now? Or what are we going to do now? And kind of feel anxiety around it. And now it's sort of like, yeah, this is, one, the process, but two, like if it feels really big and like I feel like I'm spinning out of control and I want to like get upset about it or jump in and take over, it's like, wait a second, I can take a moment and connect with the Holy Spirit, bring the Holy Spirit into the situation, and normally it like slows me down, and before I know it, a lot of the time it's someone will figure it out, or we'll as a team figure it out, or I'll have an idea that will move it forward, right? And it's just not as stressful as it used to be.
It's that whole Zen thing about, you know, before enlightened wood, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. I think that whole thing where it's like you can be focusing on a task, but if you're not, as my daughter Stara talks about, future tripping, right? If you're not future tripping, we talked about this at our Course Miracles meal, that's what the future tripping, right? Because you can future trip 5 minutes into the future.
Yeah.
Right. I'm about to go in the meeting with the boss and I'm future tripping. Right. But it's kind of like what's going on right now in this instant. Right. Yeah. And everything is okay. And if you can do that, right, then you're focusing on that one task, right? The one task. What's the one problem? And you're not worried about what the boss is going to say, what, you know, the vendor, the client's going to say, the production, right? You're just working on one problem. And your mind works better that way, right? And then you can receive inspirational, you know, what you might call revelational. Hey, try this, right? You were like you were saying, or somebody else fixes it, right? And you're going, boom, but you're in the moment totally. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
It can be challenging. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, because it's a balance between just being okay and peaceful and loving with the people around you, which you know, I definitely struggle with, obviously, I'll admit.
We all do.
And the thing that is even more powerful to me, like about the course, like, or about an example like a Jesus, was not only was he walking around just not freaking out about the things around him, it seemed like, but he was so connected with Spirit, Holy Spirit, and God, his Father. I mean, he was so reliant on it. I think it was in his mind you know, I would imagine about 100% of the time. And to me, that just blows me away. Like, I'm just in awe of that. And I would love to have that. But I know in my daily life, like going through moments, sometimes God is really far away from my mind. Mm-hmm. And I'm always kind of thinking, I'll reflect every once in a while and go, oh, gosh, how do I bring that more into my mind and my life?
Yeah.
That thought process.
And that's kind of one of the cool things about the course's workbook lesson system, right? Mm-hmm. Is that is and it's a process. We know that, right? And it's a process that doesn't end, right? You're constantly doing that. But, you know, the frequency of the pattern interrupts throughout the day becoming, you know, once every hour, you know, starting at what for 10 minutes a day and then mm-hmm. 5 minutes or whatever, right? And then as you increase, at some point it gets into like once every single hour, right? And yeah. The idea being constant, like you're saying, the idea being constant communion. You're in a complete state of communion at all times, regardless of what's going on. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, ultimately what you're working towards. But in the beginning, you're doing several kind of dedicated pattern mind interrupts where you're kind of dedicating yourself to remembering and reconnecting, right? Mm-hmm. And the more that you do that throughout the day, it's like you're reminding yourself, hey, this is always available to you, and boom, 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 and then it becomes more and more of a habit, right?
Yep.
So that's cool.
Yeah, I would agree. I think in the lessons, especially in the latter part of the lessons, what I love about the later part of the Course in Miracles lesson section is that there's usually like a prayer in each mm-hmm. one of them. And there's like prayer scattered throughout the course. And actually, I thought it'd be kind of neat if maybe they would publish like one source that had all of them in one spot. But like as an example, I'll read one. This is from Lesson 316. They're pretty simple, but it puts you in that mindset of being joining with God. Father, I would accept your gifts today. I do not recognize them, yet I trust that you who gave them will provide the means by which I can behold them, see their worth, and cherish only them as what I want.
That's cool.
Yeah, just short, simple, but really powerful, to the point.
And I'm even trusting you to show me to see them.
Yep.
To give me the ability to see them, right?
Admitting that I don't have a freaking clue what I'm doing or so could like recognize.
That's like a double surrender built into that thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's awesome. Yeah, double surrender.
That's cool. That is cool. I did the, and still do it, this holy insight I give to you. Oh gosh, I'm blanking out. The very last lesson. Mm. What is it? Be you in charge.
We have a guest.
Yes.
What was Jacqueline saying?
This holy insight would I give to you, be you in charge. For I know that, you know, your direction will give me peace. Something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. I'm blanking
good
out.
Good one.
But yeah, that's the last 360 to 365, that thing.
Yep.
That was my mantra for, you know. Oh, this holy insight I give to you, be you in charge, for I will follow you, knowing that your direction gives me peace. Yeah. So that one I actually often do on the way to work still. And it's kind of just like a good surrender, you know, kind of just reminding you.
Yeah. And the one I also like, the lesson right before that chunk, 360, I like that one too. The peace be to me, the holy son of God. Peace to my brother who is one with me. Let all the world be blessed with peace through us.
Oh, dude, that's beautiful.
There's so many.
Yeah.
So, I think it's good. One thing that I love about just talking with you, Sheldon, and the thing that I love about our friendship is no matter how far I might stray away from this and get caught up in the day-to-day world, having you as an anchor, a friend, you know, a loving brother in my life, it just reminds me of how close this stuff is and how quickly, doesn't matter how far away you feel like you might have gone from your spirituality or God, or like if you practice A Course in Miracles, just reading something this simple just brings you back in an instant. Yeah. It's amazing.
It is. And I think the teaching literally has vibration, right?
Mm.
Literally has vibration in it. Like you can just pull that book up, read something, and it'll shift you.
Yeah.
And you'll start to feel different. You know, you might still, you know, if you're super caught up, you might still feel it, but you know, on a certain level, there's a little seed that got snuck in there.
Yeah. Like this is a good example. I'm just going to do this. Hopefully this will work out. But like sometimes what I like to do is go, all right, I'm struggling with something, or I'm really clear. And all I'm going to do is randomly open the course up. I've got the, I got the old copy that I used to use in the Bay Area. This is the second edition. So I guess we'll just try this. Like one of the things that I notice is happening, and this happens when I'm in the corporate world, especially around times where it seems to be kind of really negative, like a lot of the companies going through kind of a rough time. People are being shifted all around. Again, I'm in the development world, and it's kind of a little unclear right now. I mean, it's not like it's over, but we just don't know what's going to happen. And so I notice I sometimes get caught up in the negativity of that, and I really don't want to. And so mm-hmm. now I'll, in my mind, go, okay, Holy Spirit, what would you like me to know, or how do I join with you? So now I'm gonna randomly open. Just put my finger somewhere. Okay, and so this is what I get. So is it that in all you're seeking for love, you seek for sacrifice and find it, yet you find not love?
Gosh.
It is impossible to deny what love is and still recognize it. The meaning of love lies in what you have cast outside yourself, and it has no meaning apart from you. It is what you prefer to keep that has no meaning, while all that you would keep away holds all the meaning of the universe and holds the universe together in its meaning.
What page is that?
That, well, in this book, it's page 328, but it's chapter 15, section 11. Wow. And it's in paragraph 5.
That is potent.
Yeah, I mean, every time I've never been let down when I open this up. It's like a reminder of what is it that I'm doing, at least at my mind level, that's gotten me to where I'm questioning things or I need some help or support.
Yeah, could feel the heart tear duct response on that. that was cool.
Yeah.
That was so perfect too, huh?
It always is, you know. In my mind, it is, at least. That's why I love A Course in Miracles.
So you can use it. It's like almost like a an I Ching prophecy thing, you know.
Mm, yeah.
How do you know, help me, or you know, what do I need to know at this moment or whatever, and you just open it up and there it is, and it's always perfect. Just yeah. Like you just did.
Yes. And I think some people I've heard will do that only in the workbook section, because like again, I think that's like pretty pointed stuff, because mm-hmm. the text, you know, kind of has a lot of different themes in it, but that's another thing you can try as well.
Well, and I would say though, I think some people used to do the workbook and they never actually did all the lessons in order, though I do think you need to do all the lessons in order from beginning to the end, not more than one a day,
mm-hmm.
At least once, which is what it directs. Because some people used to do the lessons every day that way, just random.
Random, and, yeah.
Yeah, for years. People have done that I did it for 15 years, but I never did the lessons. I just opened them to a random page and, you know. Because it is the lessons as a continuous, when you go through those, there is an evolution that happens in those lessons, right? It takes you through your mind training program.
Yep.
So healing process of opening, right, and shifting. So there is a gradual graduation and a gradual process of that through the lesson. So I do think, you know, if you're listening, you need to at least do that once, which is what it says.
Yeah, good point. Yep. Yeah. The lessons are very intentional in how they progress from lesson one through lesson 365.
Right. But then also doing what we were doing as something else is, you know, awesome. I mean, that's the cool thing about the thing, that there's so many different ways. There's so many different pattern interrupts, is what I call them, right? Those little things that you remember.
Yep.
I could choose peace instead of this, or whatever it is, those lessons or those phrases. And it would be cool for somebody to take all the prayers and put them into like a little reader.
Yeah.
I think somebody done that. I'm sure somebody
looking
must
for
have.
That, but yeah, I haven't found it, but I'm sure someone has, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Or
maybe we should do it. No, I'm kidding.
Yep. But yeah, it's a powerful tool.
And you have your book, Scott.
That's true. I forgot.
I forgot.
I forgot.
Inc.
Forgiveness.
Secret spirituality.
That's correct. Yeah. And like the example I talked about, it's not in the book because it's happened since I published the book. But yeah, that book is just about how do you apply A Course in Miracles or true forgiveness in the workplace. And it's available, like Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble, I think, has it, things like that, online stuff.
And it has a very catchy title, Forgiveness, Inc.
It's creative, isn't it, you know?
I love it.
Yeah, it was a good process to go through. I think just writing down thoughts or reliving some things sometimes helps to sink in learning.
Sure does.
But I think so for you, Sheldon, like what have been the big challenges that you've had to face so far this year? Because we've talked about the intensity of this particular year.
Well, there have been the ear. I got a big old ear infection that's been going on for, still not totally better, like 5 weeks now. I'm just a little, you know, nodule on my earlobe, my left ear, and it's the third time it's happened in a year, in probably 9 months actually. And this time it just wouldn't respond to the antibiotics and it wouldn't heal up, and it's still not totally healed, but radiating pain to the whole side of my head, and kind of debilitating in a certain level. Couldn't sleep on that side of the, you know, I'm a side sleeper and I couldn't sleep on that side, and literally hurt to wash my hair or comb my hair because the pain on that side of the head was so severe. And then looking at that from this process, we were talking about it, had Colleen, who's a good friend, dear friend, and, you know, she was going to do some healing work on it. And laying down on the table to receive and then just start crying, which isn't unusual for me. I cry like a little baby all the time, right, Scott?
But, I would never say that.
But it was very, you know, it was just kind of wild because it just sort of, I lay down and I'm like, okay, let's do this, you know, and I'm in, you know, I could use it, I guess, at this point, right, and lay down, and she's not even started yet, still like not even at the table talking to Jacqueline and just walking around and getting stuff ready or whatever, and tears just start coming out of my eyeballs. And kind of realizing that, you know, I've done a lot of healing work for people and lay hands and on, you know, used to do massage, and with my mom with the arthritis, I could do massage on that and help that, right? So been doing that kind of stuff virtually all my life, but that ability to receive, right? You can't, you know, you have to receive to give, give to receive, right? It's a cycle. And sometimes we're either on one side or the other of that spectrum.
Okay.
Right? Some of us are good at receiving all the time. We don't give as much. And some of us are giving all the time and we don't receive as much. But can we be balanced in that? And that was really probably almost one of the most healing aspects of the whole thing. Like, it hadn't even started yet. I laid on a table and I feel this emotion overwhelm me, and I feel these tears pouring out my eyes. And the thing that came into my head was, I've never done this. Like, I don't feel like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the one who's always doing that. And, and not from a bad place, right? It's a beautiful thing, right? But it could feel like all of this stuff coming up about worthiness. Am I worthy to receive? Do I deserve? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then that whole sense of, you have to earn your worth. Are you radiant and divine right now, exactly as you are, without having to do a single thing? And we all are.
Mm.
And we don't have to do a thing. I need do nothing. That's one of the lessons, right?
Yeah.
I need do nothing.
Who you are is enough.
Right. Right now.
Because that's the other thing that I notice I struggle with, especially in like a corporate world, because you're always being compared against or measured all the time. And the message typically is, you're never good enough. It's literally built into the culture. I mean, I know when I was briefly in management, it was always like, yeah, you know, you need to sit down with your employees and, yeah, you know, tell them the good things they've done. But always, you got to at least come up with one, two, or three things that they should improve on or get better at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so ingrained. Like, you're just not good enough. You always have to improve.
Right.
You know, a company is just not profitable enough. It's always got to expand and grow. Like, really? Does it? That kind of sounds like a virus or a cancer.
And you look at that as the ego thought system versus the Holy Spirit, right? The Course in Miracles thought system, which is, you know, you're perfect, you're divine, you're whole, you're innocent, and you need do nothing.
Yeah.
And so then the ego thought system of striving, you know, even to feel the divinity, you have to do, you have to strive, you have to improve, you have to heal, you have to boom, 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 which always puts it future based, right?
Yeah.
So, there is that, it's an interesting kind of paradox. And I think that that's what happens at a certain point, is the resolution of paradox is also one of the things that happens. I think we've talked about that before here. Because there is a process, right? And, you know, the journey of 10,000 steps that goes nowhere. I think that's one of those Taoist sayings. So, you know, because it's like when you get, you're like, oh, I need to do nothing. Oh, I got it.
Yeah, right.
But I've been doing it for like 20 years, right?
Wait, I don't have to climb a mountain?
I don't. Oh, shit.
Huh. But,
yeah. And that whole process is layers, right? You're always doing that.
Yes.
But it is. Layers and layers and layers. But that, for me, you were asking what was going on. That happened with regard to the healing aspect of my ear. Was pretty potent.
I'm just kind of curious, because I mean, I know you as a healer, like I know you can literally just touch people, heal them. Do you go through moments of like, well, gosh, I can heal other people. Why can't I just quickly heal myself? Does that ever come up for you?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's part of what said, you're not a healer. You're not healed.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? For sure. Like, I have that weird, you know, eczema stuff on my hand. My feet, and I've had that for forever, and I'd be like, well, if I was a healer, this wouldn't be here. And it's here, so I'm not a healer. Like, I think right around the time when you and I first met and you were pushing me and kicking me in the butt, that was one of the things in my head. I don't even know if I shared it, but that was part of that, you know. You can't be a healer if you're not perfectly healed. And again, I think that's a layers thing, and it's like the receiving to give, because as you receive, you can give. But it's about love, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It's, to me, I mean, it seems like, especially some of the most loving people that are in this world have some sort of disability.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a whole dynamic, Unhealed Healer or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. I think they have books about that. Mm-hmm. I haven't really read any of them, but I think that that's certainly an aspect for me that's been part of the healing process, right? Mm-hmm. Is looking at, because that is stepping on a button, a trigger of worthiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you worthy to extend love?
Mm, yeah.
Right? And then different people heal in different ways or allow the love to heal in different ways. For me, it's a very, I just step out of the way. I'm not particularly conscious in the sense of directing or getting imagery, things like that. And other healers do. And then I'll feel like, oh, I'm not a real healer. They do, you know, they see things and whatever. And I'm just sitting there stepping as far away out of the way as I can. And whatever happens, happens. It's kind of how it works for me.
Okay.
Nothing's any better. They're all different. It's all different aspects and avenues and ways of extending love. And that's how mm-hmm. I look at it.
Yeah.
But that's how I look at it. And I say that here, but, you know, has that come up for me? Sure.
Sure. Short answer, yes.
I'm not as good a healer as those people are. There, because they could, you know, they know what's going on. I have no idea. I'm just like, okay.
That person's so much better than me. I shouldn't even try. I mean, I go through that a lot. I'll be honest. You know,
yeah.
It's something that I still work on. It's interesting just to see how the ego works, the mind mm-hmm. works, right? And there's so many opportunities to either love yourself or love your brother or sister, you know, in whatever moment that you're in. It's just constant.
Mm-hmm. Matt Kahn, no matter what happens, you always deserve more love, or no matter what the situation, it's always more, more love, more, not less, you know, it's yep. always a situation that allows for more love, not less, period. And you're like,
period.
Wow, that's super simple and totally profound.
Yep. Yeah. It's pretty simple. It comes back to everyone that appears to be separated and embodies. Everyone deserves love and to be loved and to love themselves.
I just had a crazy thought.
And that thought is.
So the whole, you want to hear this? We're almost out of time. Should I end it with a doozy?
End with a doozy. Cause yeah,
this is a doozy. No one's going to hear this anyway. So here it is. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. Bishop Michael, you know, Bishop Michael, we were talking about stuff and he was just like, oh, you know, the whole thing that we're talking about, that whole razor's edge of being, doing, of being open, of still blah, blah, blah. There's a name for it. And he's just like, I'm like, okay. He's like, you'll come up with it or whatever. There's a name for that whole kind of dynamic that's happening. I was talking to him. I hang up the phone. I'm driving down the road and the name came in my head. It's all masturbation because you're always doing it to yourself.
There you go.
You know that. It's true though. You're always doing it to yourself. Whatever you're doing to yourself.
That is true.
It's all masturbation.
I'm gonna think on that one. I'm gonna contemplate that one for a little while today. You've given us a lot to think
anybody
about.
Anybody except you. You're the first one. Jacqueline didn't even know that one. That just came in the other day. I was like, holy shit, that's hilarious.
Okay.
That is absolutely hilarious. But it's true. Kinda in a certain way, right?
Yeah. We'll have to talk more about that next time.
In private, offline, maybe we shouldn't have
done. No, I'm curious now. We'll have to talk about it. But we are at the top of the hour, so this is our first time back in many months, and it's great chatting with you, Sheldon.
Great.
As always. And next time, we'll see if we can get some other folks involved, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Love you, brother.
Love you, too.